Well, we've been exploring over the last couple of weeks the book of Philippians in the Bible, and we've been looking at it by identifying the themes, the main themes that emerge in this particular letter. And we've been asking, how do these themes affect us today? We want to hear God's voice. We want to hear what God is saying to us, to Southside International Church in September 2020. Now, this is really important all the time, but I think it's really important for us as we edge closer to seeing the completion of the building. At a meeting with Spaceframe through the week, we were told that they are ahead of schedule. The building is not that far away. We don't have anywhere to meet just at the moment, but we will soon. It's very exciting. And so, as we think about this, what is it God wants to say to us about being a church with a brand new building? So far, we have heard church, it's not a building, it's people. Church, Jesus is the heartbeat. Church, co-workers for the kingdom. And as we looked at that last week, it was wonderful to get your feedback and hear the creative thinking about how can we use this building as a means of reaching out into our local community. We so look forward to doing that. And today we want to take another step. What is it God wants to say to us? Church. How you live matters. The central thread of the Bible is how the eternal creator God has acted to redeem his creation from sin and death. And as we open the Bible, we see at the beginning of time how sin entered God's good creation, how humanity turned their backs on their loving creator God. We see how this impacted what it means to be human beings created in the image of God. Yes, sin corrupts, distorts, poisons, kills. I mean, listen to the language of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church in Rome, describing the impact of sin on humanity. Thinking became futile. Foolish hearts were darkened, sinful desires of their hearts, fallen short of the glory of God, slaves to sins, slaves to sin. The wages of sin is death. But in his eternal plan, God, driven by love, predetermined in the person of Jesus to rescue and restore humanity. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And this eternal life is not just something that happens beyond this physical existence. The Bible describes it as a new kind of life now. Life in the spirit, the truly human kind of life, the kind of life that glorifies God, that reflects our creator God in whose image we have been made. And like all letters in the New Testament churches, so also here in Philippians, we see encouragement, instruction, and yes, even commandment to live out this eternal kind of life in the here and now. Yes, following Jesus affects how we live. And so in Philippians, Paul, for example, speaks of a life that is mindful and caring of others. just as much as we care for ourselves. We see it in Philippians 2, for example. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. We see Paul speaking of a life that finds its joy, its contentment, its happiness in God himself, Philippians 3 and 4. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Find your joy, find your happiness in God himself. And again, Paul speaks of a life that recognizes our true identity and destiny. Chapter 3. I haven't quite got used to preaching by Zoom and I haven't got my rhythm happening. It's always good to learn new skills. Paul spoke of living our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the Spirit is we who serve God by the Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh. Stand firm in the Lord. Also, we see Paul speaking of our identity and destiny. Chapter 3, our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Saviour from there. The Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Paul addresses the idea of to be Christian is a life that trusts God regardless of what comes. Chapter 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then finally, Paul speaks of the significance of what we think, what we allow into our minds. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Yes, how we live matters. But something rather interesting emerges in Philippians in this context of talking about how we live. Paul directs our attention to a particular aspect of why it matters. Why do it? Look with me at chapter 1, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Why does how we live matter? Because it is a sign to them. We are currently having a conversation about signs on the church building. Signs are important. They identify places. Oh, there it is. That's Southside International Church. They can give direction. They point us in the way we need to go. John, in his gospel, used the word sign to describe the miracles of Jesus. Jesus performed signs, the scriptures tell us. He did things which pointed to his identity which affirmed that he was God and clearly demonstrated his mission of rescuing and restoring humanity. And as we go into Acts, we see this same use of this word, sign, in relation to Jesus, but also in relation to the apostles. And so, for example, we read Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. And now, here in Philippians, Paul uses this same word. This is a sign to them, to those who oppose you, who are against the gospel. It is a sign of God's judgment against sin and of God's salvation, which has been freely given in Christ. It is a sign that enables the believers to strive together for the gospel. And what is that sign? Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. How we live matters. It is a sign. Now, I don't want to diminish the impact of the miraculous working of God in what the Bible calls signs and wonders. I mean, my constant prayer is along the lines of the believers in Acts 4. Now, Lord, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. But I want you to hear something this morning. How we live is equally a sign. Paul's language is very clear. This is a sign to them. Paul picks up on this same idea in chapter 2, Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of truth. Did you notice the sequence? Yes, how we live matters. It is a sign. It enables us to shine among them in the sky. The sequence: work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Yes, how we live matters. I love the imagery Paul uses here to create the sense of contrast. Look around you. Our world is characterized by evil, brokenness, sin, pain, and suffering. People are without hope. But that is not you. That is not me. We are those who have received God's gift of the eternal kind of life. We know this warped and crooked world is not all there is. We live here in this world to shine out the possibility of something different. And what about the contrast you see when you step outside at night? In the midst of the darkness of the night sky, you see the bright shining stars. Even though they are light years away from us, we see them. The darkness is not all there is. And for centuries, those bright, shining stars have been helping people find their way. Again, notice Paul's language. So that you will become. You will shine. John's Gospel tells us that Jesus is the light of the world, the light which has shone in the darkness and which the darkness has not overcome. He is the true light. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." And what was it Jesus said? "Let your light shine." Shine, Jesus, shine. Yes, how we live matters. Why? Because in a world that doesn't know where to go, we are signs. We can show the way. In a world that is lost and cannot see, we shine like stars. We can light up the darkness.